Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Chapter entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, text number 21. So what is the system for the prose verses? Huh? I don't understand. No response. Okay. Text number 21, prose verse. Follow along on the board. Bhagavan api mununa yatavad upakalpita apachiti priyavrata naradayo avishamam abhisamikshamanayo atmasam avasthanam avanmanasam chayam avyavahritam avyavahritam pravartayan agamat Bhagavan api manuna yathavad upakalpita pitati priyavratad naradayor avishamam abhisamikshamanayor atmasam avasthanam avan manasam chayam avyavahritam pravartayan agamat. Word for word meanings. Bhagavan, the most powerful Lord Brahma, api, also, manuna, by Manu, yathavat, as deserved, upakalpita apachiti, being worshipped, Priyavrata Naradayo, in the presence of Priyavrata and Narada, avishamam, without aversion, abhisamikshamanayo, looking on, atmasam, just suitable for his position, avasthanam, to his abode, avakmanasam, beyond the description of mind and words, chayam, the planet, avyavahritam, extraordinarily situated, pravartayan, departing, agamat, returned. Translation. Lord Brahma was then worshipped by Manu, who respectfully satisfied him as well as he could. Priyavrata and Narada also looked upon Brahma with no tinges of resentment. Having engaged Priyavrata in accepting his father's request, Lord Brahma returned to his abode, Satyaloka, which is indescribable by the endeavor of mundane mind or words. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Manu was certainly very satisfied that Lord Brahma had persuaded his son, Priyavrata, to take the responsibility for ruling the world. Priyavrata and Narada were also very satisfied. Although Brahma had forced Priyavrata to accept the management of worldly affairs, thus breaking his vow to remain brahmachari and completely engage in devotional service, Narada and Priyavrata did not look upon Brahma with resentment. Narada was not at all sorry that he had been frustrated in making Priyavrata a disciple. Both Priyavrata and Narada were exalted personalities who knew how to respect Lord Brahma. Therefore, instead of looking upon Brahma with resentment, they very feelingly offered him their respect. Lord Brahma then returned to his celestial abode known as Satyaloka, which is described here as being impeccable and being unapproachable by words. It is stated in this verse that Lord Brahma returned to his residence, which is as important as his own personality. Lord Brahma is the creator of this universe and the most exalted personality within it. His lifetime is described in Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahar Yad Brahmano Viduhu. The total duration of the four yugas is 43 lakh years, and when that is multiplied 1,000 times, it equals 12 hours in the life of Brahma. Therefore, we cannot factually comprehend even 12 hours of Brahma's life, to say nothing of the 100 years that constitute his entire lifetime. How then can we understand his abode? The Vedic literatures describe that in Satyaloka there is no birth, death, old age, or disease. In other words, since Satyaloka is situated next to Brahmaloka, or the Brahman effulgence, it is almost as good as Vaikunthaloka. Lord Brahma's abode is practically indescribable from our present status. Therefore, it has been described as Avan Manasago Charora, or beyond the description of our words and the imagination of our minds. The Vedic literatures thus describe the abode of Lord Brahma, Yadvai Paradhyam Tadupa Rameshtyam Nayatra Shoko Najara Namrityur Nartir Nachodegaha. In Satyaloka, which is situated many millions and billions of years away, there is no lamentation, nor is there old age, death, anxiety, or the influence of enemies. Om Jnana Chimarandhasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshuran Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakarahmayam Tadati Swaparantikam Nama Om Vishnuparaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Chinamane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatti Desha Charane Bhagavan Api Matmanuna Yatavad Upakalpita Pachitihi Priyavrata Naradayor Avishamam Abhishamikshamanayor Atmasam Avasthanam Avan Manasam Kshayam Avyavahritam Pravartayan Agamat. Lord Brahma was then worshipped by Manu, who respectfully satisfied him as well as he could. Priyavrata and Narada also looked upon Brahma with no tinges of resentment. Having engaged Priyavrata in accepting his father's request, Lord Brahma returned to his abode, Satyaloka, which is indescribable by the endeavor of mundane mind or words. We're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees. This is continuing the story of the activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata was the son of Manu, and he was next in line for becoming the ruler of the planet Earth. So he But he had given up any desire for accepting a position of material enjoyment or accepting a kingdom. And he had taken the vow of brahmacharya, and he was performing austerities. Manu, however, had a responsibility. He had to see that the universal affairs would go on properly. And he saw that there was no one else available who could take the position of ruler of the planet and suitably execute that responsibility. But Priyavrata Brahmachari was very determined to continue. He didn't want to enter into the entanglement of household affairs. So Manu went to Brahma, he's in charge of the whole universe, the whole manifestation, and he asked Brahma for help, because Priyavrata's guru was Narada, and Narada and Manu were brothers. So Manu had to go over the head of Narada for resolving the matter. So, because otherwise Priyavrata would be torn between the instructions of his father and the instructions of his guru. So Manu went to Brahma, and Brahma, yes, he came and instructed Priyavrata to take up the affairs of management. And Manu was very happy that Priyavrata agreed. But Narada was also happy. And that is the point of this verse. It wasn't that Narada, he stole my disciple. And Priyavrata was not thinking, oh, all right, I have to do it. My grandfather is ordering me. Anyway, not very good instruction, but what to do is my grandfather. I have to do what he says. Wasn't like that either. They were both very happy. Without a tinge of resentment. Not even a tinge of resentment. So this is the position of great devotee. These are all great devotees we're discussing here. Brahma, Manu, Narada, Priyavrata, they're all great Mahabhagavat pure devotees, completely surrendered to the will of the Lord. So they had no... they're prepared to accept the Lord's arrangement in whatever shape comes. Narada, itinerant preacher, traveling and preaching, always trying to see how to deliver the fallen souls of this world to back home, back to Godhead. This is his business. So naturally he sees someone like Priyavrata, very qualified. So he'll instruct him about the futile nature of this material world, about enjoyment in this material world. So that's Narada's business. He took up that service. Yes, the material world is no place for a gentleman, as Srila Prabhupada said. So Narada was giving this instruction. Better you just perform austerities and prepare yourselves for going back home, back to Godhead. And Priyavrata was very, being the great devotee that he was, Narada Muni's instructing. So he took that up very enthusiastically. and he became an aspirant on the spiritual path. So, but they're both so qualified that they had, when their plans did not work out, they had no resentment. So neither the itinerant preacher, someone who has dedicated life for spreading Krishna consciousness, nor the aspiring transcendentalist should be attached to any situation in this material world. Neither. We cannot be attached. A preacher, he has to do his duty and preach and explain the process of Krishna consciousness and encourage everyone to become detached from sense gratification. That is his business. But he can't be attached. He should not be attached to, yes, I'm preaching to this person, the result should be like this. He should move in the temple, shave up, or he should give all his money to the temple, or whatever. That is not the business of a preacher. He has to preach without attachment, otherwise he can't be effective as a preacher. Similarly, the aspirant, the spiritual practitioner, he also cannot be attached to particular situations. He has to be prepared to depend on Krishna, he has to be prepared to accept whatever comes, whether it be apparently favorable or apparently unfavorable for his spiritual progress. Because knowing that ultimately everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord is making all arrangements. The aspiring transcendentalist, he cannot ignore the fact that he has a material body. And that material body has material relations. And it's in a particular, it's subject to so many influences from the society. So he has to be prepared to function within his external circumstances. If he can adjust those circumstances, if it's favorable to adjust those circumstances by renouncing, keeping oneself aloof from society at large, that's very good, but he may not be able to. And if he's not able to, then he has to be prepared still to practice Krishna consciousness in the midst of those external circumstances, unavoidable external circumstances. Raghunath Das was living with his parents in West Bengal at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His parents were very, very, very wealthy landowners. He had so much material facility. He was married to a woman described to be as beautiful as Apsara of the heavenly planet. He had every facility for material sense gratification. Chaitanya, and he wanted to immediately run away and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But there were armed guards protecting, keeping him from running away. His parents were very much afraid that he could go. So they were keeping a small army to keep him there. So he was instructed, just be patient. Just be patient. Due course of time, an arrangement will be made for you. So he followed that instruction very carefully, and sure enough, in due course of time, there was an opportunity, and he ran away to Puri to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the preacher and the aspiring transcendentalist has to be very tolerant if he wants to be successful. It's a very nice story in Mahabharata. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira was feeling very morose because he had in the battle that was apparently the battle of Kurukshetra was apparently fought for the purpose of replacing Duryodhan on the throne with Yudhisthira. So after the battle is over, Yudhisthira is placed on the throne, and he's thinking, well, for my purpose, for my benefit, so many of my family members have been killed, so many of my worshipable superiors have been killed, the family is practically speaking, my relatives, I have hardly any relatives left. I had a big, huge family. So he was very much lamenting that why, for me, so many people had to die. So he approached Bhishma Dev on the bed of arrows and asked this important question. Why? For me, what I should do to atone for this great sin that everyone had to die for me. So Bhishma Dev, he told the story of Gautami. Gautami was a grown-up lady, widow lady. She had a small son, and she was a great sadhvi, great personality. She had this son, and one day a snake came and bit the son, and the son died. And then there was a hunter named Arjunaka who captured that snake in a bag and brought the snake to Gautami. Very angry hunter. I've captured this snake, so you please order me, Gautami, should I throw it in the fire or should I cut it into pieces? Which should I do? And Gautami said, why? Why kill the snake? Killing the snake is not going to bring my son back to life. What is the purpose to be gained by that? If you were to kill the snake, then some sin would come to you. And then she gave a very nice example of crossing the ocean. Here the ocean is the material world. So she's describing the ocean of the material world. And she said that someone who is very virtuous, they become light. They're light by virtue. By that virtuous deed, they become very light. So very easily they can cross the ocean. They can float on the ocean and they can cross, like a ship can cross the ocean. But someone who has sin, who is full of sin, they become very heavy. And they sink down into the ocean. And are finished. So she said, what is the value of killing the snake? You just become entangled in sin. But Arjunaka was not convinced. So he made... He made so many arguments. Back and forth, the conversation goes on and on and on. Making so many arguments about how... If the snake is killed, then others will not be protected. They will not be bit by the snake. So therefore, there's merit to be gained, pious merit to be gained by killing the snake. But she said, she refused. Said, you have to... said, no, you should release the snake. And by releasing the snake, you'll get merit. By showing that kindness to a living entity, allowing them to live out their days according to their destiny. So this argument was going back and forth, and then the snake started to speak. He sighed. He said, what is my fault? What did I do? Is this my nature? My nature is to bite with poisonous teeth. He said, it was Mrityu. It was death that sent me. I was just acting under the order of Mrityu. So you cannot blame me. And then Mrityu came on the scene. Mrityu said, why are you blaming me? I'm just at my job, Mrityu. My job of killing people, that's completely under the order of Kala. Kala, this, because of time, people have to die. So my job is to make sure they die at the time that they're supposed to die. So everything is happening under the order of Kala. So why are you blaming me? And then Kala came. Kala says, why are you blaming me? Time is acting according to the karma. Someone has karma, so their time is up. So this boy has died because of his past karma. It's not my fault. So if you have to blame anyone, you have to blame the boy. Because it was his karma. And Gautami also said, yes, yes, and it was also my karma, that something I've done in my past life, that I had to have my son die, also my karma. So in this way, there's no one to be blamed. You can't blame anyone for anything that happens. Everything is happening according to karma. So Priyavrata and Narada, why should they be resentful? Why should they try to blame Brahma for the situation? No one is to be blamed. Everything, because of the... It is the karma of Priyavrata to take over the ruling of the planet, and it's the karma of the world to have Priyavrata as a glorious, pious ruler. It was the simply according to the law of karma. Kala said, just like You can take a lump of clay, a man can take a lump of clay and form it into anything. He can make anything out of a lump of clay. So just like that, one can make one's karma into anything according to one's actions in this world. According to your actions in this world, you're like making your future. You're making your clay. Any way you want, you can make your future according to how you live your life in this material world. So there's no cause ever to blame anyone. So the Battle of Kurukshetra was not fought for the cause of Yudhishthira versus Duryodhana. The Battle of Kurukshetra was fought because it was destined. Those soldiers were destined to die. Yudhishthira was destined to become the ruler of the planet. In 11th canto purport, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, writing a purport, he says, a renunciate, sometimes it is seen that a renunciate shows lack of tolerance when presented with the remnants of their previous sins. Remnants of the previous sins means karmic reactions. One may be a renunciate, and one may be presented with the results of that past activity, and have some unfortunate thing happen to, even to a renunciate, unfortunate things can happen. And he said, sometimes a renunciate will show a lack of tolerance when being presented like that. And thus, they are forced to enter again under the path of impious life. So a renunciate has to be tolerant of whatever circumstances come as a result of one's past activities. If we show a lack of tolerance, then we'll again have to enter into impious life. So don't blame others. Don't ever blame someone else for your situation. No matter what, even if it appears that someone is specifically targeting you or causing you pain and trouble, never blame anyone else. Always accept the blame on oneself. Like 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Tate Nukampan Susamikshamana Bunjana Evatma Kutang Vipakam Kridvag Vapubir Vididhan Namaste Jiveta Yo Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak. We should tolerate Tate Nukampansu Samikshamana Bunjana Evatma Kritang Vipakam. We have to accept, live out whatever our past results, our vipaka, the past results of our activities. We have to just tolerate them and carry on susamikshamana with full hope and determination. Kridvag vapuvir vididhan namaste. With our heart, words, and body offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Someone who does that, that person, Jivaita Yo Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak. Such a person, he has an inheritance. Daya Bhak. He has an inheritance that he's owed. It's going to come to him. And that is Mukti Para. He's assured of liberation. So don't criticize others. It's said in I forget where. It's described in the Shastra that someone criticizes someone else for some bad quality seen in that other person. So many bad qualities are there in everyone. But if you criticize that person for that bad quality, that karma by which that bad quality is manifesting that other person comes to you. By the act of criticizing, whatever bad karma is there being manifest in that other person, he gives that karma to you. So we should be very, very careful not to criticize others. If we see something wrong, some wrong behavior in someone else, we can discuss the behavior, but we should not criticize the person who's exhibiting that behavior. It's a fine difference. We should not criticize. We should not say that it's his fault that he's like that. We should not criticize him. It's your fault you're like that. No. We should acknowledge the fault. Okay, the fault may be there. But how to help that person overcome that fault? Not that we try to bring them down because of that fault. This is what a critic does. He tries to... This is a definition of aparad also, where you try to bring another person down. You try to make him look less in the eyes of others. This is the definition of aparad. Criticism. So, we should have a compassionate heart. A compassionate person, he never criticizes. If someone is really compassionate, then if he sees some bad quality, he'll try to help. If he can try to help that person overcome that bad quality in whatever way possible. If he can't help, then simply go on, try to find someone else to help. But if one criticizes, then one brings the karma of that person upon oneself, and one loses one's own sukriti, and loses the determination to perform the process of Krishna consciousness. So these are some instructions here in this Srimad Bhagavatam verse. Thank you very much. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhuji. Microphone is there? Someone needs.
Yeah. Hare Krishnaji, thank you very much for a very informative lecture and actually changing my perspectives in many ways. With respect to this particular last point which you mentioned, that we should not criticize. You're absolutely right. The very activity of criticism brings within us that quality which the other person is having, or what we are criticizing. But Prabhuji, when we have to interact with people, okay, who have behaviors, and even when you, for example, a person may pose before you what the other person is actually not. Okay. At that point of time, and the other person is, you can say, senior to you in terms of age and other factors. So at that point of time, how to convince yourself? I can't convince the other person. I have to convince myself that I can be the servant of the other person.
We have to become expert at neglect. One thing. If we can see that someone is not good association for us, then we should neglect. That's one thing. But if we have some responsibility to work with them, okay, that's Tatenu Kambam Susamik Shamana. We have to simply tolerate with our body, mind, and words. We have to offer respects to the Supreme Lord and accept our situation. We simply have to. This is coming to me by Krishna's will. It's a test for me to see if I'm going to continue to remember Him. And if I can do that, continue to offer my respects to the Supreme Lord, then liberation, which means liberation from that difficult situation, is our rightful claim. We cannot expect a very nice situation in this material world, ever. We got this body somehow or other. Must have been, we can know just by this having this body that we've performed so many nasty activities in the past. So, it's mercy that we didn't get a worse body. So, whatever bad things come to us, if we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should think, 100 times, 1,000 times, million times worse would have been there if it wasn't for the holy name. But somehow or other, I have this body. It has some prarabdha karma is still there. Has to be worked out. So, let me tolerate it and worship the Supreme Lord. Nothing else to be done. Buji?
When someone criticizes somebody, he has to take over his bad karmas of that person, correct? Suppose when he criticizes somebody, and at that time some of us are present there and we hear the criticism, should we also take out the bad karma?
If you support it, yes. If you support that criticism, yes. But if you tune out or go away, then no. Or if you accept it, see, it's difficult because if you hear criticism of someone, then the natural reaction is that you'll think less of that person who was criticized. That's natural. Someone says, this person did this horrible thing. He's such a bad person. He did this horrible thing in the past. I didn't know that. So now I'm going to think less of that person. So, okay. As long as one doesn't take up the mood of criticizing also, then one is protected. What to do? He was in that situation. He heard that thing. What to do? But if he supports it, repeats it, endorses it as in his mind, he endorses it, then yes, he has to share. So one should you have to learn to recognize aparad, when coming from others. You should always be hearing what other people are saying. Is there some aparad there? That way you can help, you can learn yourself how to avoid aparad. If you're not hearing with those thinking about how to, whether there's aparad there or not, then you're not preparing yourself for avoiding aparad yourself. So you have to think like that. If you see aparad, you have to, yes, accept in your mind, yes, I can see that. If I can defend that person, if there's something I can say to neutralize the situation, that's good. But if not, then just shut it out. Shut it out. If possible, go away. That's my understanding.
I have to ask something else, Prabhu. In purport, it is said that in Brahma's planet, Satyaloka, there is no birth, death, old age and sickness. But elsewhere it is said that from the Brahma's planet down to the earthly planet, all are placed of misery. Yeah. Can you clarify this?
Yeah. Practically speaking, Srila Prabhupada is saying, practically speaking, there's no birth, death, old age and disease. Practically speaking. Actually, there is, but only after 300 and, so many trillion years. So he's just speaking in general terms. Srila Prabhupada is speaking in general terms here.
It doesn't mean that it is a part of the Vaikuntha planet, am I correct?
No. He's glorifying Brahma by saying his abode is so close to Vaikuntha that it's practically like Vaikuntha. That's all. He's just speaking words of glorification for Lord Brahma.
You were saying that creature shouldn't be attached to the members. If we are not attached, because every time we have to go to them and for certain purpose we have to ask them donations and all these. So we have to be attached with them. So what do you say about that?
No, don't be attached to them. Don't be attached. It's beneficial for that person to give a donation to the Lord. It's beneficial. So my business is to try to encourage them. And if I don't encourage them to serve the Lord sufficiently, properly, then my fault is there. I haven't done it properly. I have to learn how to do it better in the future. But I'm not interested in the prestige of coming back to the temple. Yeah, see, I got the check. I should not be interested in that prestige. I should not be that kind of attached. Otherwise, we won't be able to successfully preach. People will understand. People can understand that this person is attached. And they won't be inspired to serve Krishna. They may give you some money, but they won't be inspired to serve Krishna. We're representing Srila Prabhupada when they go out. We have to act as he would act. Whatever our behavior is will reflect on Srila Prabhupada. We have to be very careful in this regard. Okay?
Hare Krishna. So we were studying about Satyenu Kampam, that sloka, where devotee accepts everything on as Krishna's mercy. So like generally another kind of people also are there who are kind of lazy. They don't do anything. And whatever happens in their life, that also they are not so much concerned about. So, like, generally then, on the name of being Tattenu Kampa, okay, everything is Krishna's plan only. So then I'll not endeavor much. So sometimes we take everything as Krishna's mercy and be lazy, not doing our own part also. So how to know that this is Krishna's mercy and this is somewhere I have to endeavor and change this situation, and this situation I should accept as it is? Okay. So how it goes?
Everyone has a different role to play. So we should not be judging others that they're lazy, therefore they're just making it as an excuse. Some people have that role to play also. That is their prarabdha. So what to do? We have to just do what we can according to our own situation. But there was something else you were asking also, wasn't there?
If also, personal life, when to know that I should change the situation, and when to know that, okay, this situation is good for me, and just accept that as Krishna's mercy.
Our authority is Guru Sadhu Shastra. So, and there's no conflict between the three. There's always agreement. If you think that there's some disagreement between Guru and Sadhu, or between Sadhu and Shastra, or between Guru and Shastra, then that's, you have to think again. You're misunderstanding something. So our direction, if we're actually chanting Hare Krishna properly, then there will never be any question. Such question will not arise. Should I change the situation? Should I not change the situation? It'll be perfectly clear. Yes or no, according to Guru Sadhu and Shastra, what I should do. Should be perfectly clear. So if we don't know, we should chant better. Inquire better. Study the Shastra better. And then it will be very clear. You have a question? Okay.
When there is so much suffering in this material world, so actually I want to know why God created this material world.
Why He created this material world? For you.
No, for everybody.
For everyone, because you want to enjoy. Because everyone wants to enjoy. See, the souls are created, they have a choice. They can serve Krishna or they can not serve Krishna. So if there's no choice given to a soul to serve Krishna or not serve Krishna, that means everyone's forced to serve Krishna. If everyone is told, you have to serve me, then there's no choice. So if someone chooses to not serve him, and then later on realizes, I should choose to serve him, then Krishna likes that. He's very happy. Oh, this person has turned his face towards me. He wants to serve me. Oh, this is very nice. And he gets pleasure. Krishna gets pleasure from that. So the material world is a place of reformation, where those who don't want to serve Krishna, they get to learn how nasty it is not to serve Krishna. So they will turn their face to Him. Okay? Thank you. Hrini Garba, is that his name?
As Sundar Chaitanya Prabhu quoted that sloka, Tateno Gampa Susamukhyamana. So, how one will understand that Krishna is bestowing His mercy? So, the last line, it is told that Shrutibhaka Vapubhi Vidabhe Namaste. A person who is engaging his body, mind and words, he can understand that this situation is the Lord's mercy in calamitous situation. So that shows that the person who was only suffering according to his karma, he never cared for his destiny. He is only suffering. But the devotee, he realized that is Lord's mercy, because he is always engaged in Lord's service by his words, mind and body. I think this. My question one, okay. That here we see that Narad Muni, he came to fix Devrat Maharaj. But Manu, he didn't invite to Narad. He invited to Brahma. A similar situation we see. The preaching, everywhere in the preaching in Bhagavatam, Vidur he came to preach Dhritarashtra Maharaj, and he immediately left home. But when Yudhishthira he saw, and he was lamenting that I could not protect my grandfather and father. So, that Narad he came and he preached that why you are lamenting? Kala karma gunadhinaha dehayam panchabhautikam katham gopayita anyaha sarpagastam ivajivam. He says, as a snake, the egg frog is swallowed by a snake, so similarly the every living entity, they are captured by kala, time. So why you are lamenting? So you can see the both situation. What is the preaching mean? Vidur he came to preach Dhritarashtra to live. If you see that everything is swaying by Lord's desire, so why you should be sick? And Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is Dharmaraj, but he was lamenting. He knows everything. He knows the philosophy. But why he was lamenting?
For our instruction, just like Arjuna had bewildered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken for us. So similarly, Yudhishthira lamenting so the teachings of Bhishma could become known and the Mahabharata could be written for us only. These are all the pastimes of the Lord, that Yogamaya makes these arrangements for the pure devotees to be put in these situations so that the Shastra can be can manifest within the world.
The devotees should be lament for the situation, the negative situation. The devotees should be lament.
Should what?
In negative situation.
Huh? Personally in a negative situation? No, of course not. But you can lament for the condition of everyone else. Yes, they're in a very bad condition. They need to accept the process of Krishna consciousness in order to become uplifted. That is the devotee's lamentation. But he never laments for his own personal situation. That's except under yoga, under the control of the Supreme Lord, he may have, like Arjuna may lament and then be instructed. But generally speaking, the devotee should not lament. That's the meaning of this Tate Nukampan Susamikshana.
But in present situation, you see, in management, so many times the authorities there in a lamentation. Like you see in Sivrat Maharaj, he does not want, but Brahmaji first. So there is one point, it's person. In Bhagavatam 10 suffix, the person is there, and the last is the ashray, and there is mukti, liberation. So what is important? That is sthana, person or liberation, and the ashray. There is four related. So which one is important?
I can't understand, sorry.
In the 10 suffix of Bhagavatam,
you understand?
Oh, I don't. You have to ask the scholars for that. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.